In this series, but last week we talked a little bit about worshiping together. And in that was four thoughts that kind of came out of it that said that, you know, that Jesus is for all people. Can I get an amen for that? Amen. That Jesus causes us to pay attention. That Jesus is worth the journey. We talked about, we're going to talk more about it today, that once you start that journey, that he'll be with you the entire way, and that he'll provide a way for it to be completed. And then lastly, that Jesus is worthy of our worship. How many of you enjoyed worship today, amen? And he is worthy of the worship that we give him. So we're in this series called Christmas Together. I have a beautiful assistant today. Come on up here, Lori, give her a hand. She didn't want to do this in the first service, and I said, do you want to do it in the second? She goes, no. Well, anyway, she's up here, and she's going to help me light the candles, all right? We're going to see if she's a good candle lighter. Yes, first candle is the joy candle, and it basically symbolizes the joy that something exciting is about to happen. And then we have the hope candle. Pastor Dana talked about how hope is much greater than a wish or a desire, but that hope is found in the person of Jesus. And then this next candle is the peace, our peace with God and our peace in our life. Not only our joy or our hope, but that he is our peace. He is our peace with God and our peace in our lives. You're doing good. And then we have the love candle. And so love, to me, is the primary fruit of the Spirit. That's the one that I pay most attention to. Why don't you come on down? Thank you. Let's give her a hand. She did really good. Thank you. You distract me. Pretty. The primary fruit of the Spirit, love, you guys. With lighting the love candle, I think about Joseph's love for Mary, Mary's love for Jesus, God's love for the lost of sending his son Jesus, and then our love that he gives us for each other. So today we're talking about saying yes together. Everybody say yes. That sounds way better than this morning's service, but I love that, saying yes together. So we're going to look at the story of Mary found in the book of Luke, and it's a little bit of reading, but just follow along with me. It's going to come up on the screen for you. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of a greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who has said to be unable to conceive is in her sickness." "Lord's servant," Mary answered, "God will ever fail." Can I get an amen for that? "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. So I just want to give you some thoughts on Mary, her love for God, and her ability to say yes to what seemed impossible. And my first thought is this right here. The favor of God is a big deal. Come on, church. The favor of God is a big deal. Back in 1986, dating myself a little bit here, but I was getting ready for my junior year in college. We were going to drive. I was in Texas. Lori and I were still dating. I was going to her dad's church there in Fort Worth, Texas, but we were getting ready. A friend of mine was going to drive out with me, and he was going to play some basketball as well for Bethany. So it was Sunday morning, and a man by the name of Ralph Diamond approached Kevin and I and said, "I want you guys to come to Galleria Mall." Let me just say this first of all. Let me just put this in your thoughts. How many of you have known somebody that was good to have their favor? Okay, just kind of, that's where I'm going with this. So he walks up. I really didn't know much about him other than that his son was in the youth group with us and stuff. And he goes, "I want you to come to the Galleria Mall, and I want you to come to my store. come Monday morning, be there at like 9 o'clock, and we'll let you in. Well, now the Galleria Mall in Dallas today is humongous, and it was big then, but it was all anchor stores, all the motherships, and you had to be invited to come into this mall before hours. You had to know an owner. And so we got there, the security guard buzzes us through, we go up to see Ralph Diamond. I walk in, and he owns this edgy, expensive Italian clothing store. We walk in. On one side, there's out these clothing laid out for me, and there was clothing laid out for Kevin. And I start, and I walk over, and I start looking at the shirts. $300, $400. The pants are $600, $700. Shoes are, you know, just astronomical. You guys know of a bolo tie? Okay, all the Southern Cowboy, back then in the mid-80s, it was popular to wear a bolo tie. And the bolo ties were $150. I want you to go down and see my friend at Quick Size. He goes, start trying it on. Then I want you to go down and see my friend at Quicksilver. And he had another store that he wanted us to go see. Guys, by the end of that morning, we had walked out with thousands of dollars of clothing to go with us to the university when we left to go to California. It was good to be in the favor of Ralph Diamond. So here is the angel Gabriel, and he's saying to Mary, you who are highly favored, and you have found favor with God. The angel of the Lord was making it very clear to Mary that she was favored. To have favor in the Greek is the spiritual condition of one governed by the power of divine love. Favor is for loving and helping others. It's not so that you can be served. It's not so that you can have more recognition or for selfish ambition. You see, doing anything significant for God, you do not need to have great ability. What we learn from Mary is that God is looking for people who are willing and ready to be used. You know, last year I had this thought that came up when I was talking about Mary, and I wanted to share that with you again this year. You have to imagine this, you guys. Mary is one of probably hundreds teenage girls in that city in Nazareth that were virgins. Maybe one of thousands of teenage women that were virgins, but yet God chose Mary. We talked about the journey last week. How many of you know that Mary was about to go on the journey of a lifetime? How about saying it this way, the journey of an eternity? Because it was going to change everything. You see, the favor of God is amazing. It can be the picture of, how about for some of us, financial freedom? We've caught up on bills. We're actually ahead. You know, there's that favor. How about having a healthy body that you're noticing you're not coughing as much, that the plantar fascia being in the will of God. Whatever it is, you're feeling much better. Or how about just being in the will of God? I want to be very transparent with you. Pretty much 100% of the time, with having favor, will come the opinions of people on the outside looking in. You see, having the favor of God doesn't mean that everything is all of a sudden going to start being easy. You know, Mary saying yes wasn't easy. Joseph, you know, having to have what he was going to do and having that conversation with her wasn't going to be easy. All his decisions weren't going to be easy. The pregnancy, the travel, the unknown, having to leave their family and friends, it was not going to be easy. You see, the favor of God may come at a high price. There's two questions. Are we looking for the favor of man, or are we looking for the favor of God? Not everybody is going to be impressed with God's favor on your life. Listen to what I mean by that. Some will separate themselves from you. When you choose to follow God, when you choose to walk in His favor, some will be jealous. Did you know that some will actually say that you're a fake? That you're self-generating it? I remember that when I finally decided that I was going to follow Christ, I just couldn't keep up what I was doing anymore, that I had every friend, guys, listen to me, every friend that I had made in those years of Texas before I came to Christ, not one of them stayed with me. Next thing I know, I hear through the rumor mill that they said that I was studying to be a monk. You know, they're just saying all these crazy things. Guys, it's not always well received when you go into the favor of the Lord. Let's be real. When it comes to what is being conceived in your life, in your heart, the only two who know how real it is going to be between you and God. You know, there's a huge dilemma that's faced men for thousands of years. And it has to do with being able to tell if a woman is pregnant or not. Come on, guys. Come on. How many men we got in here? Raise your hands. Make sure. Guess only men we've got in the room. How many men we got in here? Come on, guys. There we go. All right. Making sure. Guys, what I'm talking about is when you walk up and you're just in Starbucks, you're in some store, you're at the amusement park, and you're standing there and you see a woman standing next to you and you think she's pregnant and you want to say, oh, congrats, or when's your baby due? But something inside you says, don't do it. Okay? That's what I'm talking about, all right? So fast forward, I mean, going back now, we were at South Lake Tahoe. We were having a young adults retreat. We had about 16 couples that we took up to South Lake Tahoe, rented this house right on the water, flew in a speaker, and we're having a blast. Well, we go to one of our dinners that night, and I'm going up to pay for my check with Lori, and then I have a good friend of mine standing behind me. Well, I walk up, and there's this girl standing there, and she looks pregnant. I'm telling you. She looked festive. She was in her little snowboard stuff. She just looked like she was enjoying it. She was pregnant. But guys, here's what I've decided to do is that unless I see on their shirt now where it says like baby on board or it says cookie in the oven, I don't know, something like that, it's not coming out of my mouth. So I'm looking at her and I'm going, she's definitely pregnant. But something in me said, don't do it. Don't say it. And finally, after battling inside, I just didn't do it. And I went and I was going to pay. And then guess what? My friend behind me goes, hey, congrats on your baby. And so I quickly look. And she goes, and she gives that look like this. She goes, I'm not pregnant. Guys, inside of me, I was going, I knew it. Yes. I was so proud of myself. You see, people can think what they want. But you know and I know, we are the only ones who know what God is doing inside our lives. You're going to have all kinds of spiritual armchair quarterbacks that will have all kinds of opinion and what they think about you. See, can you imagine being married? And that's the precious thing about being in the favor with him. See, can you imagine being married, a teenage girl, and having the angel of the Lord asking you to carry the Son of God? In her thoughts, no one is going to believe it. No one would understand. How can this be? You see, it was a big deal that God chose Mary. It's a big deal that God chooses each and every one of us to help him build his kingdom. Having the favor of God, I want you to know this, is the guarantee of his presence and of his power. It's a guarantee that he will be with you. No matter how long the journey is or how big the plan may be, God will see it to completion once you say yes. Everybody say yes. Yes. Once you say it, his favor is not about convenience, but it's about his purpose. Psalms 35 says it this way, for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts what? The Septuagint reads it this way, that there is wrath in his anger, but life in his will. Life in his promise. This season, do not take for granted God's favor on your life. Be thankful for the blessings and his attention to you. Be available to what he wants to do in and through you. Because the story of Mary teaches us all that having the favor of God is a big deal. And here's my second thought. True faith eliminates all fear. I truly believe this. Luke 1:30. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. So the angel has said, do not be afraid. Now what you have to understand is that this is the angel Gabriel. He's one of the archangels. And what we know about angels from the Old Testament, the New Testament, from other books that are out there that didn't make it into the Bible, the angel scrolls. What we know about angels, it caused men and women to lash out. It caused men to lay their dead. It caused men and women alike to bow down and begin to worship them because they were impressive beings. And here is Gabriel saying, do not be afraid. Partly because he's about to reveal God's plan, but also because of his presence. You see, the angel is saying, we know who you are. We know that you love God, and you have been specifically chosen, and you have been found in favor. God's calling stirs up all kinds of fleshly responses, but especially fear. Fear is a normal reaction to a God calling. I think of people who are addicted. Guys, and I'm not talking about just drugs and alcohol. I'm talking about addiction. There's something that's going on in their life that wasn't there before, and it's something that they have lost control, and they can't go a day without it. And I think about people that when Jesus comes into their life and they're coming out of a life of addiction and they want to make it right, they want to start that journey, the first thing that's going to rise up is fear. Not just because of what's going on inside them, but because of the friends that were addicted with them will say, you're not going to make it. You're faking it. You know, what are you doing? You know, that kind of stuff starts coming out. We think about marriages, you know, men and women that are fighting every day, that God is doing something in there, and they're wanting to see restoration in their marriages, but there's fear that can be there. I think about huge moves, not about moving out of state, but that God has done something in you, and because of it, there's movement. Something's happening now, and so we get a little afraid of that. A God calling can be unsettling, but one day it's this, and the next day it's that. And I'm not talking about it's like this, that, and like this, and I'm talking about that you, today it's like this, you go to sleep and you wake up and the next day it's like that. Because God has started to do something in you, and it can be a scary thing. I think about Mary's fear, Joseph's reaction. Family concerns. What about Joseph's reaction? What about that it puts her life in immediate danger, that in that time that if you were found in adultery or found pregnant outside of your husband or before your husband, they would walk you right out of the city and stone you to death? What about that everything is going to change and some, if not all, my family and friends are going to have nothing to do with me? Fear, listen to me, everybody, always makes you consider the cost. 2 Timothy 1:7 says it this way, for God will never give you the spirit of fear, but the Holy Spirit who gives you mighty power, love, and self-control. In the New King James Version, it says it this way, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and listen to this, of a sound mind. How many of us could just use a sound mind right now? You know, honestly, think about it. I mean, we were about to bang our heads together just trying to think of like gifts and things and all that. And it's just like you just want a reprieve, like, God, make it stop. You see, fear was never intended to rule our lives. We were not supposed to be paralyzed by fear. We're not supposed to run from darkness. Guys, did you know that we carry the light of Jesus Christ inside of us? That instead we should be running into darkness, dispelling it, calling it out in the name of Jesus and telling it it's got to go. This is who we are. And see, fear tries to stop that. We were created to break through anything that would try to stand against what God has intended for our lives. We should be known and seen as dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. You know what I mean? Instead of being fearful, that we're strong, that they should be fearing us, that I am called, that God has a plan for me, that I am highly favored, and I have no reason to fear. You see, that's a change in language. That you can say, I am called. You know, I have been found with favor. What these candles symbolize, and when I think about Mary carrying what these candles symbolize, the joy, the hope, the peace, and the love, that she carried that inside her. And then she birthed that. And I think about what that was like for her. You see, sometimes when we fight back to fear, it can be intimidating, it can be embarrassing, and it can feel like we have no control. But see, fear is the number one reason why we say no to God. Listen to this language. I won't. I can't. How about, it's not a good time. And I love this one. You've got the wrong person. God, you just have the wrong person. You see, fear robs you of peace. A God plan will always interrupt all other plans we might have. Right here is, put this up here. My wife, back in 2018, wrote these books. And what had happened was when she first approached me with it, She gave the idea, and my wife and I have been praying for our son since 2011, and she's had hundreds of scriptures and devotions and things that she had done over the years, and God had told her specifically that you are supposed to put those in books for other parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles who are praying for people to come back to Christ. And so what happened was that was good because she was telling it to us. But then all of a sudden, though, I started hearing, now listen to what I'm saying, some fear language coming out. Listen to these right here. She would say she didn't know she had time, that she would have to give up things to make this happen. She was actually very, very worried, guys, listen to me, and concerned how Chase would react, even though his name never comes up in these books, that how he would react to her writing these books. She was worried about me because she's got to take care of me. She does a great job. She said, I've never wrote a book, but because it was a God plan, because she was a woman of favor, God walked her through the ends. And now they're around the world. Instead of saying no and cowering to fear, she releases these books, and now they're around the world. She gets emails, Facebook messages, she gets text messages for men and women who have been touched by what God is doing in their families' lives. Amen. Come on, you guys. And it's something that fear could have stopped. Two things to be reminded of. God is always with you, and he's with you until the plan is completed. I can almost promise you with a high percentage of accuracy that God's plans will never line up with your plans. We're going to talk more about this. It's going to come a little bit more. But just like with Mary, God has specifically chosen you because of your faith. Fear will never have full control. Hebrews 11:6. Look at how many times faith shows up in this one right here. And without faith living within us, it would be impossible to please God. For we come to God in faith, knowing that he is real and that he rewards the faith of those who passionately seek him. You see, the story of Mary teaches us that true faith eliminates all fear, which leads to my third thought. God will birth life out of your obedience. God will birth life out of your obedience. Luke 1:38. And Mary said, yes. Everybody say yes. I see it all now. I'm the Lord's maid, ready to serve. Let it be with me just as you say. Then the angel left her, blessed among women. But what you have to know, though, is just a few scriptures before, Mary asks a very serious and legit question that needed to be asked. And here's her question. Luke 1:34. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? There's a thought that I shared last year, and I wanted to bring this back, and it was this right here, that we don't have to fully understand everything to have God's overwhelming favor in our lives. To have his peace, to have his hope. We don't have to have it all figured out. God, families, into your work, put my spirit in you is so that you can bring me into your families, into your workplace, into your friends, because I want you, listen to this, I want you to birth me into your world. Visualize this, you guys, that I want you to bring me into your circles. Think about the definition of birth, to deliver, to bring forth, to give rise to give birth to. That in and through our obedience that men and women will find Jesus in their own lives. Every believer, every one of you that have accepted Jesus and you're following him, you are a carrier of God's Spirit. There's people, I'm telling you, right now in our lives that need life. They need life. And that, there's nothing, there's no other way to say it. They're down, they're depressed, they're out, they're gone, they're not healthy, whatever it looks like, they need life. And God is going to use you to go and birth life into them so that they can receive this and understand this, that through your obedience that you would birth life. Amen? So guys, be available. Be willing. Have the faith that God is who he says he is. Here's a picture that's going to come up for you. Okay, in the top right, this is 1998, and you can see Little Sky and Chase, and we recreated it down here, and then Ryder wasn't along. That's Ken, the guy who's in the video, Ken. And he didn't come along until 2000, so we thought, well, where would Chase, I mean, Ryder be in the picture? So we put him on Lori's shoulders. But guys, the reason I put this up is because in 1998, we had all kinds of plans since 1998. We got married in 1988, so there was 10 years there with plans, but I don't have time to go through them all. But I'm just going to share with you how much we can plan all we want, but it doesn't necessarily line up with God's plans for your life. So let me give you these. Well, wherever they went, we were going to move. In 1998, we were planning to move our entire family, those two, well, wherever they went, we were going to move to Israel. God had a different plan. We had it all planned out. We were ready to go. We were packed. Everything was good, and God changed the plans. I was planning on being the lead pastor of International Christian Center. And God had different plans because he spoke to Lori and said, I need you to go back to school and prepare for television. Little did we know it was going to be over 3,000 miles away to Virginia where we knew no one, but that's what God, that was the plan that he had for us. So guess what we do? We start planning again. Lori, you're going to go to school. You're going to get your master's, and then we'll be back to California in 2 years. Obviously, we didn't go back to California. Y'all with me on this? I said I would never plant a church. Lori said she would never want to plant a church. And God called us to plant one in 2009 called 3-in-1 Church out in Suffolk. Church is still going strong, called Relate in Deep Suffolk. Everything's going great. But my plan was that I would literally retire from pastoring that church. But in 2018, he tells Lori and I, our time is done, that we're stepping down in 2018. Didn't make a lot of sense, but that wasn't the plan. That wasn't our plan, God. But guys, guess what? 2019, 2020, we start thinking ministry. We're getting ready to do it. I'm sending letters to Northern Texas, to Southern California. Find out that there's 20-something churches in Northern Texas looking for a pastor. So I'm thinking that's where we're going. But God had different plans. Instead, I'm here at Harvest Assembly with you guys. God had different plans. Think about Mary. Think about Mary sitting there going, God, there is no such thing as a pregnant virgin. Lori and I, we're going through things like this. God, we know no one in Virginia. God, Lori's first professor says she's too old and she got in too late in the field of television. God, but. God, I can't. God, it doesn't make sense. We all have to, at some point, we have to, in this walk, in this what we're doing, what God is doing, if we're going to birth life to people, we have to get to a place sometimes where we go, I can't explain what's going on. I just know that God is doing this. When you see a healing that cannot be explained, the doctors can't explain, it's just God. There's no other explanation. And guys, here it is. There's no humanly possible way. When that happens, God says, here am I. This is my plan, and now let me do what seems impossible. The angel says to Mary in Luke 1:37, for no word from God will ever fail. In other translations, it reads, there is nothing which God is not able to do. Nothing is impossible for God. Or how about this one? For no promise will be impossible of fulfillment. Anything that God will ask of you, I say this, be obedient. Any plan that he has for your life, say yes. Everybody say yes. There isn't anything that was meant for you to do alone. We are only able because of who God is in our lives. We are only capable. We are only gifted. We are only qualified because of what Jesus has done. I am no more able to do it on my own now than I was back in 1985 when I really came back to Jesus. I still need his presence because I know God is with me. Because his spirit has been birthed in me, that I can do everything he's asked me to do, that I can do everything that my heart desires. Look at Philippians 4:13. For I can do, what does it say? Everything. Through Christ. You see, the story of Mary teaches all of us that obedience gives life, birth to life. That obedience gives birth to life. I want to close this up and ask the worship team to come on back up. But here's the three thoughts. Let me just go back over this with you again. That the favor of God is a big deal. Life out of your all fear. And that God will birth life out of your obedience. story of Mary teaches us to say yes to God, and that saying yes to a life of blessing. That we are saying yes to a life that is not driven by fear. That we are saying yes to the plan that he has for our lives. Guys, I'm not saying don't try to make plans. We know that from the 10 virgins, that they had to plan ahead. They had to have their oil ready. I get that, but don't think that that's the final, because God's plans are always bigger and they're greater. Amen? The Bible. I want to talk about this a little bit. If you really want the favor of God in your life, and I truly believe this, is that you've got to be in his word. I'm just telling you straight up, no matter how young or old you are, in a business that you're in, or what you're doing in school, or you're married and retired, or whatever it looks like, that if you want to walk in the favor, if you want to be in a place of obedience and blessing, you need to be in his word. In fact, look at this, it's going to come to the screen. You will need to become a lover of his word. Each and every one of you. Every story that we have talked about since we started the Together series back in September, that's going to actually go into the new year with us. Every story that we're doing for Christmas right now is found in this word. We don't have these stories if it's not for the word of God. Think about the Christmas stories. John the Baptist, we've talked about. Zechariah and Elizabeth. We talked about the wise men. Now we've talked about Mary. We still have more coming. All are found in his word. All found in the word of God. And if we are going to be able to say yes together, saying yes to the plans and the things of God, if we really, truly want a solid faith supported by life that shows obedience, we will need to pick up his word. And we got to go into this. We got to read it, and you got to read it some more. You got to meditate on it. The word of God is eventually going to reach some more. And what eventually happens is that the word of God is eventually going to reach out and it's going to grab you. Why? Because this is life. It's life. There's nothing like it. You'll never read a book, nothing. Harry Potter series, whatever it is. You can read it. But you're not going to get the life that comes out of the word of God, because this is living. We all know that Mary was a ponderer. She was a reflector. God knew her heart, and it was a heart that was after him. She knew his word. This is one of my favorite scriptures, Joshua 1:8-9. Look at this in the Message. And don't for a minute let this book of the Revelation be out of mind. Ponder and meditate on it day and night, making sure you practice everything written in it. Then you'll get where you're going. Then you'll succeed. Haven't I commanded you strength, courage? Don't be timid. Other translations, don't have fear. Don't get discouraged. God, your God, is with you every step you take. Mary not only knew God, she knew his word. She carried the word inside her for 9 months. And then she birthed the word into the world. She gave life into the world. Mary said yes to a plan that was outrageous. It was ridiculous. It seemed impossible. Mary said yes to what God wanted to do through her life. Harvest, I'm telling you, get ready. Because 2022 is going to be a year of the ridiculous. Amen, come on. Of the impossible, the unexplainable. That we're believing that God will show up and be the God of the possible. Amen? That he's going to do this. So let's get ready to say yes. Everybody say yes. That we'd be ready to say yes together. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Thank you. Thank you. So, Father, as we just sit in your presence here for a second, Lord, I just pray that I know you've already began to speak to people in this room. And God, this morning we had hands that went up all over the place. And I'm praying it's going to be the same here. And it deals with this, that God, if there's any of us that are in this room that have some big decisions to make, maybe some of us are feeling the call of God on their life. And I'm talking about that things need to change. Things are about to change. Maybe you've got a big move coming up. Big move. Maybe you're just when hearing this message, you're saying, I just want to be in the will of God. I want His plans to be mine. There could be some of you that are sitting here saying, Pastor Matt, I'm afraid. It's going to be hard for me to make this decision to step out with God because I know what I could lose. So that fear is there. That fear is talking to you. But I want to remind you that God does not give us a spirit of fear. He gives you the Holy Spirit. So if that's you and you're saying, Pastor Matt, it's me, maybe for some of us, you're feeling God is saying that He's going to use you to birth life into somebody's life right now. I don't know what that looks like or how that comes out to you, but you know God's telling you He wants to use you because you're a carrier of Him and somebody needs life. If any of this applies to you, I'm going to count to three. And without hesitation, I just want you to stand where you are. You don't have to come forward. I just want you to stand because we're going to pray with you and believe with you. 1, 2, 3. Right now, let's move. God is speaking to you. Just stand. Stand. Hallelujah, God. You're going to use us, Lord, out of our obedience, dear God. Hallelujah. If you're standing and you're comfortable with this, just lift up a hand or just put it up obedient, Lord. There might be some that's still. God, thank you for these that are being obedient, Lord. There might be some that still need to stand, Lord, but God, that you're going to already, you as soon as, Lord, as they even made the, before they made the motion to stand, you are already moving in them. Lord, you know exactly what they're going through. You know exactly what they're hoping for. You know the fears that they're facing. You know the decisions that need to be made. You know that they're carriers of you and they're going to be taking life into their circles. But God, as they lift their hands, I'm asking you to anoint them where they stand. From the top of their hands to the soles of their feet. Men and women, dear Lord, that are obedient. Men and women who are filled with faith. And men and women who recognize that the favor that comes from you is a big deal. In the name of Jesus, fear has to be gone. In the name of Jesus, depression has to break. In the name of Jesus, let your life force come out of us to help somebody else. And I ask this in your holy and precious name because you have big plans for each and every one of us. And we thank you for them. And let Harvest Assembly say amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Let's all stand together. Let's all